first reading is from Genesis. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to till it and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, "You may freely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall die." Now the serpent was more crafty than any other wild animal that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God say you shall not eat from any tree in the garden?" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, 'You shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the middle of the garden, nor shall you touch it, or you shall die.'" But the serpent said to the woman, "You will not die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate, and she also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate. When the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made loincloths for themselves. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 4th chapter. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. He fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards he was famished. The tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, 'One does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God.'" Then the devil took him to the holy city and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, 'He will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone.'" Jesus said to him, "Again, it is written, 'Do not put the Lord your God to the test.'" Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. And he said to them, "All these I will give to you if you will fall down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, 'Worship the Lord your God and serve only him.'" Then the devil left him, and suddenly angels came and waited on him. This is the gospel of the Lord. Dear sisters and brothers, grace, mercy, and peace to you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
So, when you run into something threatening, it's not enough to know that you've either got to get away or get rid of it. How you handle it matters. And that's the lesson that a Texas woman learned the hard way last spring. See, she was cleaning up her yard, and she discovered a snake. Well, as the sheriff's deputy later explained, and you know things go bad when a sheriff's deputy has to explain things, she really didn't like snakes. I mean, she had to get rid of this thing. I mean, it could bite her. Or maybe she had kids or pets, or she was worried about the neighbors or something. But for whatever reason, she had to get rid of that snake. So she did what any perfectly reasonable person would do. She got a gasoline can. Yeah. Oh, but wait. And she doused that slithering serpent and tossed a match on it. I mean, come on, who needs subtlety, right? Well, the snake died. But not right away. Did I mention she was cleaning her yard? And so in its agony, that snake takes right off for a brush pile. A dry brush pile right next to the woman's house. Oh, she got rid of the snake. And she got rid of her house. And when all was said and done, 20% of the neighbor's house was burned up as well. How we respond to threats matters. And sometimes we just make things worse, don't we? And that's what we see in what I'll call a tale of two temptations that our first Sunday in Lent puts before us. There is on the one hand Adam and Eve, and there is on the other hand Jesus. Both are tempted by the devil. But they handle it in two completely different ways. Adam and Eve make things infinitely worse. Jesus, though, succeeds and gets rid of the snake. And we would do well to note just how he does this without burning any houses down. Well, first of all, Jesus follows the Spirit's lead, even when it's hard, even when that Spirit is leading him out into the wilderness. And then when he gets into that wilderness, he fasts. He allows himself to experience discomfort. And already you can see, this is the opposite of most of what we think of as religion, where we want the Spirit to lead us into what is comfortable and make things easy for us and satisfy all of our wants and needs. Well, when he's hungry, when he's in the place of struggle, then the devil shows up and says, "Hey, you don't have to be roughing it like this. Come on, turn the stones into bread." He refuses. Now, he will later use his divine power to miraculously feed a crowd of over 5,000. But he won't use that power to satisfy himself. He insists that there is something even more important, that God's word is more necessary even than physical sustenance. Then comes the challenge. Okay, then, if you're the Son of God, throw yourself off the Jerusalem temple. Now, what's the point of that? Well, it's the center of the city. Crowds of people. This is about spectacle. It's a demonstration, a show of power. This would be the premiere episode of Jerusalem Idol, where the crowds would be treated to the reality show vision of Jesus performing a suicide leap without even bruising his heel. Amazing, incredible. But what's to be gained? I mean, do we really need another over-the-top celebrity in this world? What would Jesus really be proving here? Maybe nothing, except that he was insecure enough to take the devil's dare. Then comes the third temptation, and this is the one for everything. All the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. Now, it's open for debate if the devil really could offer him any of that, or if it was just a lie. But even if he could, it comes at a price. Take your heart, Jesus, just a little bit off of your Father, and set it on me. And again, Jesus refuses. Three times the devil tries to change Jesus' course. And see, that's what these temptations are really about, the direction that Jesus' life will take. See, if he had given in to any one of these, if he had taken the steps that the devil suggested to prove if he was the Son of God, he would have eclipsed and pushed aside his own humanity. He'd be a Superman with no needs, no vulnerabilities. And that kind of Savior doesn't just push aside his own humanity, he would crush our humanity. We would have no freedom whatsoever in the face of such an absolute, unmoving, pain-free, invulnerable God. And instead of a Redeemer who is irresistible in his beauty and his love, Jesus would be a tyrant, implacable and relentless in his power. See, by saying no to the devil's offers, Jesus sets himself firmly on the way to the cross. He has committed to being not only fully divine, which he is, but also fully human, open to suffering, ready even to die. This is a God who can love, and love no matter what the cost. And so this is a Savior that we can trust and we can love, because he will do whatever it takes to rescue us, no matter what the cost is to himself. He will defeat sin by receiving all of our sin. He will destroy death by his dying. That's what saves us. That is our hope. He undoes all the power of evil by suffering evil's worst himself and then rising again in victory. And in that triumph in the wilderness, he not only does what we are incapable of doing ourselves, let's be honest, overcoming all temptation. We can't do that. He does. And he also undoes the failure of Adam and Eve in the garden. And so if we want to take part fully in his victory, if we want to receive the full benefit of what Jesus has done, then we should take a look at how he was able to get rid of that snake. While on the other hand, Adam and Eve just burned down the house. And here's the key. Here is the foundation. The devil tried to call God's love into question both times. He tries to get Eve to think, come on, God's jealous. God's holding out on you. He doesn't want you to have what's best. And then he goads Jesus. If you really are the Son of God, prove it. Adam and Eve fall for it. They doubt that God's goodness is really enough. They think, wow, maybe God is holding out on us. And see, they aren't thinking for themselves anymore. They've let the serpent do the thinking for them. And what they're doing is they're thinking alone. They don't ask God. They don't get God's perspective. See, they've let themselves become afraid. Afraid of missing out, afraid of losing something, afraid of suffering. And so they do what fearful people always do, which is take things into their own hands, with disastrous results. Jesus didn't take the devil's bait. He didn't need to prove that he was the Son of God, because he knew his Father's love. And so he didn't think alone. He let his Father's words from Scripture shape his understanding. And so then he could think freely for himself and not be trapped by fear of losing or suffering. And so Jesus didn't need to take things into his own hands. Adam and Eve did the spiritual equivalent of setting the house on fire. Jesus just got rid of the snake. In this season of Lent, we focus on the struggle with sin and temptation. And of all people, we should know that that struggle is real. It does not ever go away. But of all people, we have the most reason for hope and joy. Because Jesus has already won that fight for you. So when you are faced with temptations, you don't have to take things into your own hands. How you respond truly matters. Don't let the tempter trick you into being afraid, into wondering, is God's love enough? Am I God's child? All you'll do then is start setting things on fire. Don't let the serpent do your thinking for you. Think with Scripture. Trust in the one who came and died for you. Be secure in knowing that you truly are God's beloved child. And don't be afraid. Even when his will for you is self-denial, or struggle, or a time in the wilderness, trust that Jesus is leading you. And when you do that, the devil will depart even from you, because Jesus has defeated him. And to that, may all of God's people say together, Amen. Amen.